Good morning. Today's reading will be from both Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3. I'll begin with Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 25. Excuse me. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism.
If you're a guest or visiting here today, we're going through the book or the letter to the Ephesians that Paul wrote, and it's on the theme of our new identity in Christ. And we're almost at the end next week, and I'm going to spend a couple of weeks, or maybe even three, on spiritual warfare, which is the last part of chapter 6 and really the end of the letter. But it's such an important topic that we're going to actually drill down a little bit and give some time to that over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Today we're looking at spirit-filled work, and there's a reason why I've entitled it that way, because as we've seen in the last few weeks, that the command to be filled with the Spirit back in chapter 5 was then followed with the implications or the outworking of that in daily life. And it deals with four areas. It dealt first of all with, as believers in the body of Christ, to speak to one another in, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and make melody in your hearts to the Lord, and so on. So that was the first one. Then in marriage, in your marriage relationship, how being filled with the Spirit will impact your marriage, or should do, how it then affects our parenting and our family life, which we looked at last week. And today we look at the other area, which these are all the major areas of life. If you reduce it down, the last area is our engagement with our workplace, our boss, or our employees, if we're the boss, the whole environment of the workplace. So the whole idea of being having a new identity in Christ and being filled with the Spirit and being children of God is that we actually are different, that we're not the same. There's been a radical change where we are, and I like the word distinctive, that we stand out. We're like lights, it says in chapter 5, in a dark place, that we are children of light, and so we're to shine in our marriages, in our family life, and in our workplace, whether we are employees or employers. So it's written, though, not just to those who are employed or who are bosses, but if you're retired, or if you're come into a huge inheritance and you don't need to work again, and I hope you've tithed, but anyway, if you can't work for medical reasons, whatever it is, we still can apply the principles here to our lives in our engagement with other people. Like some of us might get people in to mow the lawns and to do the garden or to work in the house and do the ironing or all sorts of stuff, and we pay people to come, and that is a relationship with someone who can be treated in the way that Paul here writes to those who are employers or masters of slaves, as I'll come to explain that a little in a minute. We have Christian service and our involvement in the life of the church and in ministry. The principles of this passage apply to that. Or if you're a volunteer to an organization, having retired, now you're engaged in helping people or doing things as a volunteer, it affects that as well. So it is relevant to all of us here today, even though not all of us by any means are still working in a regular job. I worked at an abattoir, and you'll see a picture up there of the sheep that this was in New Zealand. It was between 2 years of Bible college, so during the summer I got a summer job working, and one of my jobs was to load these containers with sheep, with carcasses of sheep that were going to be exported somewhere. And so it was a job, and I was a Christian. I was a young Christian. I was excited to serve the Lord, and having finished 1 year at Bible college and wanting to work, I worked away, and I was really working hard at this. And the guy said, "Stop pumping it." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Stop going so hard." And you know, we have a ruling that you have to take 45 minutes to fill a container, and that's the workers' union ruling. So if you spoil it for everyone else by going too hard, well then it'll mess things to the boss. The employer will want to change the rules. So just slow down. And it took forever. I mean, it was slow going. But if you go in on a Saturday, which they only work Monday, Friday. But if you go in on Saturday, they sometimes had a Saturday morning job where you had five containers to fill, and it was job and home. So it didn't matter. As soon as you got it done, you could go home. You get paid for the time that was allotted, which was 45 minutes. And it only took 20 minutes to fill the container when you were job and home, and you could just quickly do it and go home. And, you know, it made me aware of just how in the workplace we can be, whether you're an employee or an employer, it's wanting what's best for me. It's I'm in the center. I want to do what's best for me. Whereas the radical change in the Christian life is that I'm not living for me anymore. I'm living for my Lord, and He's my real boss. He's my Lord, and I'm working for Him. And so it made me suddenly aware of just how it's hard to be a Christian sometimes in a workplace where the principles and the ethics of a Christian are so radically different. So it talks here about those who are slaves and those who are masters. Now, back in the Roman Empire, it was estimated that was something like over a third of the population were slaves or entitled slaves. So to get an idea, it's got really very little to do with the kind of slavery that has been 150 years ago that this country and other countries have worked through. It was something that was very much a part of society then, and there were two layers of slaves. The first layer was those who were treated like farm animals. They were sold, they were abused, they were even killed, and they were treated like a thing, not as a person. And Aristotle, for instance, writes, he says, a slave is a living tool, just as a physical tool is an inanimate slave. And so that was the attitude towards that layer of slavery, which was, of course, terrible and absolutely needed changing. And it's interesting that The New Testament doesn't address slavery or other social issues. The primary impetus of the New Testament and mandate was to preach the gospel. And the gospel going out transformed lives, changed the mindset eventually of whole nations, so that the social justice issues were changed as a result of people being changed through the gospel. That's just as an aside. The second layer of slavery, however, was anyone who was a skilled tradesman. They had highly educated slaves. They had teachers, secretaries, accountants. They were all slaves. There were no hospitals back then. So a rich family would buy a slave and send that slave to medical school, and that slave would come back and work full-time as a doctor in the household. So, in essence, the bond servant or slave was someone who was hired to work for you. And that's why I say today we can apply it to those who might come and fix our heating or air conditioning, how we treat them, how we respond to those who come regularly to do work around our house or in other ways. So then let's look at it briefly in the time that we've got left. It's very simple. That if we're going to be living as Christ would live, which is really what it means to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with Christ, to be led or governed by Him and obedient to His impulses, His direction, His word in our lives. And to be filled with the Spirit means to be Christ-like in every way. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. All the characteristics of the true person of Jesus Christ, of God Himself, is now by His Spirit to be manifest in our lives. So then, to be Spirit-filled then, there are three ways that we see in this passage that we are to be showing the evidence of the Spirit filling us in the workplace. The first one, because it really has to do with the will, the heart, and the mind. So we'll look at those three. The will of the Spirit-filled Christian, the heart of the Spirit-filled Christian, and the mind of the Spirit-filled Christian in the workplace. First of all, then, the will, which is to obey. It says in verse 5, obey those who are your masters, earthly masters. And then in verse 6, obey as you would obey Christ. Doing the will of God. And it seems pretty simple, but that is really important for us to understand, that as we work in the workplace, that our boss calls us to be doing what he wants or she wants us to do. And that we have a spirit of obedience, that we will run when he says or she says run and do that is urgent, that we will take what that person says as important for us to follow through with. We'll take their directives. And you know, part of our fallen nature, because we are all fallen, having a sin nature, is a disinclination to submit, right? There's a disinclination in our hearts and spirits to obey and submit to the wills of another person. And so it says that back in chapter 2, we looked and saw how because of the fall of man, because we are sinful, it says in the early verses of chapter 2 that we are sons of disobedience, which is really saying just that. In 1 Peter 2, verse 18, we read, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but to those who are harsh. Submitting to a harsh boss, to a difficult boss, to someone who's unreasonable, to someone who's overbearing, or even someone who's incompetent. I've worked for a foreman once in a part-time job way back, And he was incompetent. And yet, my calling as a Christian was to be willing to follow that directive. Sometimes your boss can be so bad. I was a pastry cook. I started a pastry cook course and went to a very popular big a bakery and worked there. And the owner was great, but the she was never there. The manager was wasn't very nice. And I left that job. I didn't leave the job, I left the boss. And sometimes you're in a situation like that, but God calls us as evidence of the Spirit of God filling us, a spirit of obedience. Secondly, the heart of the Spirit-filled Christian. One CEO of a huge company once said, "In choosing staff, attitudes are more important than skills. Skills can be taught, but attitudes are not easily changed." And so we see here there's a number of things that Paul says that our attitude should be, our heart should be. First of all, to obey your earthly masters with respect, with fear and trembling, it says in one version, but it really means to fear and respect, the fear in the sense of honouring and respecting the one that is over you. By virtue of their position, they are in a place of authority and you are a servant of them. And again, even the unreasonable or harsh or overbearing. If you honour the Lord by honouring that person, you will grow in grace, that you will develop as a Christian, become more godly and more gracious, and it will affect your life and you'll become more like Christ, who himself was obedient even to death on a cross. So in Philippians it says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God," showing, if you like, the character of God. Children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. And when you show respect to your boss, even when your boss doesn't deserve it, that stands out, because people who don't have the Spirit of Christ and don't have that motivation and desire, they are different. They won't rise to that. But you are filled with the very living Christ by his Spirit, who wants you to respond with respect. Next, with sincere heart, it says there, or with singleness of heart, it really means in the original Greek. To be undivided, to put your whole heart into what you're doing, to be completely devoted to what you're called to do in your employment. As an employer will soon pick up on someone who is working for the business, not just for their wages. One who is devoted to the work that they're given to do. And it's the same with home help and with being a volunteer and with a sincere heart. Next, integrity says to be genuine. Don't try getting away with as much as you can. As it says here, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ, obey them not only to win their favour when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ. Not just to win their favour, not just being outwardly something, but when the boss isn't around, then you'll take advantage of him or her, or you'll curry favour by doing things when the boss is looking. Be genuine. Integrity is so important. And lastly, wholeheartedly, it says in verse 7, the most willing service is when you serve out of a heart to please Christ. Wanting to please someone that you love in everyday life, like your wife or husband, You do things that otherwise would be a drudgery or a pain, or you wouldn't even bother doing them, because you love your wife or love your husband, or in other love relationships, you do things with joy and gladness. You're happy to do them because you love the person. Well, we won't love our bosses necessarily, but we love our boss. And it's the whole emphasis here, and moving on actually into the third part of this, is the mind of the Spirit-filled Christian, is that we're serving Christ. That we're actually not serving our boss. Ultimately, it's our ultimate boss, with a big B, our Lord. So as I work at the computer, or as I'm out in the yard digging, or whatever my work is, physical or mental, or am I in the hospital and I'm a nurse, or whatever it might be, that I must keep in mind that I am actually serving Christ in the workplace. He is my boss. He is my Lord. And whether my actual physical boss is good to me or not, and if I feel or deem they're worthy of my respect or not, is really irrelevant, because it's my Lord that I'm serving in the workplace. So that means that our work is sacred, not secular. It is just as sacred to be working in your workplace, serving the Lord there, as it is to be a full-time minister of the gospel and serving the Lord in a paid role in a church or in a mission or a ministry or something like that. There's no difference. We're serving the same Lord, and we both have that attitude that He is my Lord and it's Him I serve. Inasmuch, Jesus said, as you do it to the least of these my brothers, you do it unto me. And it says in Colossians, that passage that is parallel to this passage in Ephesians, it says, you are serving the Lord Christ. And lastly, there's reward. Both the employee and the employer, the slave and the master, will be judged, it says, without partiality. In other words, and it goes on to say that he will reward us, and in Colossians, with inheritance. That if we in the workplace serve our Lord and do it as Spirit-filled, God-directed and motivated in love and honesty and integrity, if we do that in the workplace, He will reward us. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where your real Christian faith is shown to be real, in the workplace. And that is what God is looking at. And that's what He'll judge us on. Our salvation is free. It's a gift of grace. Salvation is never works. It's never based on what we do. But our reward is always based on what we do. So we'll always be in heaven because of God's grace. He died for us. He rose again. We put our faith in Him. By His grace we are saved. But when we get to heaven, as it says in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 5, that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and He will judge us according to what we have done in the body, whether good or evil, and He'll reward us or He'll take from us for eternity. I haven't got time to look at the employers, but I just want to say this, that the joy of serving the Lord in the workplace will be an amazing witness. People will see that you're different and that you respond differently to that boss or to the workmates around you or whoever it is, or your customers or whatever your situation, that the life and the light of Christ will shine to a point where people will see the difference that you are in that place. And that's what He's called us to do. Filled with the Spirit, Spirit-filled in the workplace. May that be an encouragement to us Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that it's easy to slip into the old nature and allow our sinful nature to take control of our lives and not live spirit-filled lives. And sometimes in the workplace where we're under pressure and people say and do things that upset us, it's so easy to respond in kind. But we pray that we will seek with your grace and help to live spirit-filled lives in the place where it's very difficult to live that way, in the pressure and in the difficult times. We pray, may we know your grace and help to be spirit-filled in the workplace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.